welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. As of the recording of this program, Bernie Sanders pretty much tied with Buttigieg in the Iowa primary. And he has won the New Hampshire primary with 25.7% of the vote, 76,000 votes. Buttigieg was close behind with 24.4%. How Bernie Sanders does in the other upcoming primaries is anyone's guess, but even if he loses, he will get a large percentage of the votes, and that's a scary thing. Because Bernie Sanders is a hardcore communist. He has a well-documented track record of supporting communism and the Communist Party. Even his current rhetoric is ideologically communistic. You say, well, wait a minute, he's not a communist, he's a socialist. Well, do we even know the difference? On Wikipedia, socialism is defined as a political, social, and economic philosophy encompassing a range of economic and social systems characterized by social ownership of the means of production. Communism is a philosophical, social, political, economic ideology and movement whose ultimate goal is the common ownership of the means of production. It's the same thing. In fact, Karl Marx, the founder of communism, used the term socialism to refer to his philosophy. Since at the end of the 19th century, when he was pushing communism became an outdated term. And later communists in the 20th century very often used the term socialism to refer to the transitional stage between capitalism and communism. Since the term communism scares people off, most European communists now call themselves socialists. And all communists today refer to themselves as socialists. And let's not forget that the Nazi Party in Germany was the abbreviation for the National Socialist Workers' Party. The philosophical underpinnings of communism has always been socialism, the putting of the society above the individual. It's this belief that individuals should not own property or own businesses because that results in inequality and oppression. Therefore, property and businesses should be owned by the society. And you know what that means. The society is the government, and so everything needs to be owned by the state. So let me read from my handy-dandy copy of the Communist Manifesto that I keep on my shelf. It's there to remind me that evil still exists in the world. Quote, "In one word, you reproach us communists with intending to do away with your property. Precisely so, that is just what we intend. But you then say individuality vanishes. You must therefore confess that by individual, you mean no other person than the bourgeois, than the middle class owners of property. This person must indeed be swept out of the way and made impossible." Unquote, Communist Manifesto. In other words, no one should be allowed to run his own business or hire workers or earn profits. What we call in Christianity, creating businesses that provide profits for oneself along with work and opportunity for others, the communists call that exploitation. They hate individualism. They hate anyone who has 1 cent more than they have. They hate one person having more power and influence than they do. They are the workers in the vineyard in Matthew chapter 21 who say, "Let us kill the heir and seize the inheritance," because they thought what belongs to the owner should belong to them. They are the Philistines in Genesis chapter 26. Who became envious of Isaac because Isaac was blessed by God and was very rich. Marvin Olasky, with World Magazine had a great editorial a while back describing why communism, this idea that everything needs to be equal and everything needs to be shared, always, always results in tyranny and a population of slave citizens. Which explains why Venezuela, a formerly rich country, having adopted socialism, is now a country living in abject poverty. The poor are not equal with the wealthy. The poor are actually poorer. And this explains why nobody has ever been caught swimming from Florida to Cuba. But everyone wants to escape communism. Because socialism, in effect, is slavery. The entire country becomes a slave plantation. And for all the talk of the left against slavery, their very ideology is slavery. Here's the example Lasky uses to help the average person understand this. And this is a great example. In a free market economy, the baker gets up early so he can sell tasty bread to feed his family. But in socialism, his family will eat crusts whether he gets up early or not. So he's likely to roll over and go back to sleep. What then will the master of society do? In today's parlance, he will first send a text message. Going back to sleep is wrong. The baker ignores it. Next step, give the baker a phone that sounds a blaring wake up at 4 a.m., but the baker turns it off. Next, send a loudspeaker he can't turn off. The baker will find a way to cut the cord. Finally, the master sends a soldier to rouse the baker, march him to the bakery, and shoot him if he resists. That is the history of socialism. The worker must be forced to work because the profits do not go to him. They go to somebody else. The owner of the plantation, the state, who will dole out some of the profits to the worker, but just enough to keep the worker alive. And so socialism is identical to the slave plantation of the 19th century. You have a plantation owner who takes your work and a taskmaster with a whip. Like slavery, in socialism, the worker is denied the labor of his hands, the very thing communists complain about in capitalism. So Alesky shares the philosophy of George Fitzhugh, an American social theorist in the 1850s. And Fitzhugh argued that Negroes were children who needed the economic and social protection of slavery. And then he carried that same thought over into the larger society, that all people need the socialism of Big Brother government to take care of them. So in his work, Centralization and Socialism, Fitzhugh wrote, "Our animal nature inclines us toward socialism. Modern improvements are creating unequal distributions of wealth," which has actually been proven to be false. So Fitzhugh proposes a solution. Hold property in common and divide the profits not according to each man's input and labor, but according to each man's want. And of course, we all know in this, the lazy man wants just as much as the working man wants. And so socialism empowers lazy people and evil ideologues. So Marvin Alasky asks, does Fitzhugh's proposal sound appealing? Well, congratulations, you have just applauded a major defender of slavery. Fitzhugh wrote in Sociology for the South in 1854, "Our only quarrel with socialism is that it will not honestly admit that it is seeking to bring about slavery again." Fitzhugh admitted that socialism is slavery. And he wrote, "It's a duty of a society to protect the weak, but protection cannot be efficient without the power to control. Therefore, it is the duty of society to enslave the weak." And that is socialism in a nutshell. You know, it's no coincidence that Marx and Engels and the Communist Party were all atheistic, because their belief in socialism and statism is a denial of God's biblical law. It's even a denial of a biblical worldview. And Bernie Sanders claims that he is a non-religious humanist, but not an atheist. But few atheistic politicians ever come out of the closet. Bernie Sanders is a practical atheist. And it was actually the Hillary campaign back in 2016 that was digging up all of Sanders' atheistic comments to secure the nomination for Hillary. So the Democrats have a real problem with Bernie. He has strong support among the radical base in the Democratic Party. But the party leaders know that most Americans are not ready to put a socialist communist in the White House. In a recent Gallup poll, 53% said that they would not vote for their party's nominee if he was a generally well-qualified person for president, but happened to be a socialist. The poll showed that Democrats are more willing to support a socialist. 76% said that they would vote for a socialist. Only 45% of independents and only 17% of Republicans would vote for a socialist. But even those numbers are way too high, given the nature of socialism. You'd think that the poll would report that 95% of the public would never vote for a socialist. But now that America is losing its Christian heritage, our political ideology is following suit. Atheistic communism is becoming very popular. But still, for now, the socialist platform in the Democratic Party is going to turn away enough voters to most likely cost the Democrats the next election, especially when the platform is represented by an angry old communist like Bernie Sanders. I mean, a guy who used to fly a communist flag in his office when he was the mayor of Burlington, Vermont. So James Carville, the Democratic political strategist from the Bill Clinton era, in a recent interview, unloaded on his own party, saying that the Democrats are losing their minds. Radicals in the party have driven the party to the far left. He said African-American voters are not interested in socialism and a revolution. Quote, we have candidates on the debate stage talking about open borders and decriminalization of illegal immigration. They're talking about doing away with nuclear energy and fracking. You've got Bernie Sanders talking about letting criminals and terrorists vote from jail cells. It doesn't matter what you think about all that or if there are good arguments. Talking about that is not how you're going to win national elections. So what's scary about Carville's comments here is that he's not so much against these positions as much as he is about the Democratic Party letting the cat out of the bag and letting people know about their true positions. The political smart thing to do is to keep silent about your radical agenda until you get elected. Well, at least a good thing in the providence of God is that these radicals are coming out of the closet. But I guess the bad news is that they can do this because, unfortunately, a large percentage of the American public now supports communism and globalism and statism and LGBTQ. In the Democratic debate in New Hampshire, George Stephanopoulos asked all the candidates, is anyone else on the stage concerned about having a Democrat socialist at the top of the Democratic ticket? Now, this question wasn't who is or who isn't a socialist. It was really just about the optics of it. But the question really showed where the candidates were at ideologically. Only Amy Klobuchar and Tom Steyer raised their hands in opposition. The rest of the candidates, Sanders, Biden, Yang, Warren, Buttigieg, whose father was a communist professor, all support socialism. That's where the party has moved. So here's the topic I really want to discuss. Why do so many people love Bernie, or rather communism, socialism? Why do an increasing number of Americans want socialism? Why do millennials want socialism? I touched on this earlier. It's the envy and greed of Matthew 21 and Genesis 26. Communism is truly the philosophy of thieves, freeloaders, the envious. It's the philosophy of the takers, not the givers. As Winston Churchill said, socialism is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is equally shared misery. In other words, if I can't be made equal, I would rather nobody has anything. I would rather everyone be poor than to have someone with more. Now, of course, socialist communists would vehemently object to that description of their ideology because they positioned their ideology as being love and charity. But their ideology is not about teaching owners and workers to give charity. It's about owners and workers not being allowed to have private property rights. And that is a whole different position than the giving of charity. Congresswoman AOC is not asking Jeff Bezos of Amazon to be charitable. She is saying that it's unjust for him to own Amazon. That private businesses and ownership is unjust. Remember the Communist Manifesto. The middle class owner of property must be swept out of the way and made impossible. It's claiming that Boaz in the Old Testament shouldn't have just been giving the corners of his field to the poor. He shouldn't have owned his farm in the first place because he didn't have a right to own anything. His farm needed to be owned by everyone. Rather than everyone owning a farm, nobody is supposed to own a farm. And this proves that communism is not about charity for the poor. It's about envy and resentment and retaliation against successful people. And of course, people are deceived by communism. But why are they so easily deceived? Because they're influenced by their envy. People are also deceived by abortion. But why are they so willing to believe a fetus is not a life? Well, because they're influenced by their selfishness. So communism is not a vice of ignorance. It is a vice of envy and greed. And the reason people love Bernie and his positions is because covetousness is endemic in the human heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And Jesus was saying, "That which proceeds out of man, that is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness." Romans chapter 7, verse 8. "But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind." And so we have the eighth commandment, "Thou shalt not steal," and the tenth commandment, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house, nor shall you covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Do not covet, and do not adopt a political ideology of coveting. Here's a great example of the condition of depraved humanity. Jacob had 12 sons. One son, Joseph, was righteous, and hence he received a special gift from his father, Jacob, coat of many colors. And his brothers could not tolerate this. And they couldn't even tolerate any prophecy that Joseph would someday have any authority or power over them. Genesis 37:4, they hated him. They could not speak to him on friendly terms. Genesis 37:11, his brothers were jealous of him. And so Genesis 37:18, they plotted against him to put him to death. Now think about this. What kind of brothers would murder one of their own brothers just because he was a little better than them? You know, rather than changing their own ways, it was just easier for them to murder the one who has more, like Cain killed Abel. And that's pure evil. But notice it was 11 to 1. 93% for egalitarianism So much so that they would actually murder. And the surprise is not that 20, 30, 50% of the American public is now leaning towards socialism. The real surprise is that it's not 93%. Because the natural tendency of unregenerate mankind is to use violence to take the property of others. Like Job chapter 1. The Sabaeans and the Chaldeans killed Job's servants and took his livestock. The only thing that is stopping the evil that's just waiting to break out in America is the salt and the light of the Christian community. Because for Christians, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you as proper among saints. So Christian, beware of socialism and communism. In a Gospel Coalition article by Robert Smith, professor at Sydney Missionary College, wrote this article entitled Cultural Marxism, Imaginary Conspiracy or Revolutionary Reality. Quote, Marxism, whether in classical or cultural form, can be viewed as a corruption or parody of the gospel, replete with its own false prophet, Marx, false Bible, Das Kapital, false doctrine, dialectic materialism, false apostles, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Marcosa, and false hope, a communist utopia. Therefore, the fact that cultural Marxism is a real ideology making a real impact on our world is not good news. Unquote. And one more thought in closing. Friedrich Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto along with Karl Marx. Engels' father and mother were Lutheran Christians. But Friedrich rejected Christ and God's truth about the world after he started reading the atheistic philosophies of Hegel at the university. Friedrich's mother tried to get him to turn from his ways and turn back to Christ. And she wrote him the following in a letter. Quote, this often happens to people. They willingly blame other things for that which they are responsible. And really, that's the mindset that drew Engels into communism. He blamed all of his personal problems and the problems of the world on the owners and upon economic systems. And he sought for deliverance by economic revolution, rather than realizing he has his own sin problem. He needed to change himself, not the world. So Engels' mother concluded her letter to her son with these words, may God shine his light upon your heart so that you will know what will bring you peace. In other words, rather than finding peace in the false gospel of communism, that Engels would find peace in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said to the Jews in his own day, if you only knew the things that make for peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. My prayer is that you will turn from the false gospel of socialism to the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. You've been listening to God and Country Radio, the radio website to listen to this program again or hundreds of other past programs on various topics is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can also email me questions, comments, insights. The YouTube channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, deliver our nation from the wickedness and the deception of communism. At the very least, expose it as a false gospel, the anti-gospel to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that in the exposing of the lie, a great number of people will turn to your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.